Pool Parts presents Preps Rewind on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Daniel Allemann.
Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome to Preps Rewind right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK, coming to you live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Allemann. We have in studio with us Coach Carter Williams. Coach Carter, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good this morning. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing really good. Coach Carter, thank you for coming in, man. How has your week been?
Oh, it's been great. Found out I only tore three ligaments in my
ankle. I was just
going
to ask you.
Only tore one tendon and only partially tore another ligament. So I'm.
Well, what happened, man? Explain to us what happened. I know.
Well, I was at the College Basketball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's in Kansas City. I was out there just doing a work trip. You know, I wanted to go and just see it. It's like 6-8 years old. Right. Pretty cool at the T-Mobile Center out in Kansas City. Beautiful venue. They got all these mini games set up, these little, you know, 3-point kind of shootout thing. Right. They got this 3-on-3 court set up. Well, there's of course 5 guys there, all together hanging out, and I'm there with my wife, and there's this 3-on-3 court, and they're like, "Hey man, you want to play?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, you know, I'll go I did it in Kansas City, and check this out, dude." So it happens, and we're staying at a hotel that's like a light rail ride away, or you know, and we got 4 or 5 blocks to that.
Right.
So we start the game. I D this dude up, get a steal. No, I'm
he's like playing all serious now.
No. So yeah, I mean, I just kind of cut toward the rim, go up for a layup, go to land, and I land. I mean, my toe stuck in the ground first. My ankle pops, and right away I'm like, man, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Yeah. So I walked around. I'm like, oh, we got 5 or 6 hours until the flight. I'm gonna try to tough it out. Walk around the city.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for about 45 minutes. Ended up just getting on the light rail, going over to the airport, just sitting down for 2 or 3 hours. That was 3 weeks ago now, though. But yeah. So I mean,
so you're gonna get it repaired then.
Oh, I'll have to get
all right, Coach. Yeah. Okay, no more playing for you then. You're just going to walk the sideline. That's what we're going to do, okay?
Yes,
you know what, folks? Don't forget to text us. You can text us on the Preps line at 888-530-0043. We'd love to hear from you. We have a great show lined up for you today. Coming up on the Go Parts Prep line, we were going to visit with Coach Zeke Alaris, head coach of the Greeley Central Wrestling Team. Excited to open the show with Coach Alaris. What an amazing dynasty the Alaris family is building. Great family. I can't wait to talk to Coach. Then joining us is Jim Epstein, Executive Director of the Ride On Sports in Denver. Ride On Sports works with at-risk middle school students to improve their creative writing skills by tapping into their passion for sports and their writing programs. They also have camps on Ride On Sports. Denver camps continue to inspire camps to improve their writing skills. So I can't wait to talk to him about that. And then in our third segment, joining us on the Good Parts prep line is Roper Rich, an Eaton native and 1BA American bullfighter. Then rounding out our show in studio, we're going to have 3A Coach of the Year, Tony Mastari, head coach of the Eaton Reds wrestling team. Yes, sir, I said the Eaton Reds wrestling team, who won its third state championship in 4 years. You know, thanks to Good Parts, our great sponsor, for being one of our amazing sponsors, 970-454-3355. Make sure to call them. They're a phone number away. Call them. They have great quality source for all Napa parts. Good Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. As Coach Grable would always say, let's run, let's run. Joining us on the Good Parts Prep Line right now is Greeley Central's head wrestling coach, Zeke Alaris. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Thanks for coming on this morning. I appreciate it.
No worries. I was excited.
First things first, man. It's really good to talk to you again, man. And congratulations on being named head wrestling coach at the age of 23, man. That's pretty impressive, my brother.
Thanks, man. I know. It was exciting. It was definitely unplanned, but when the job opened up, a lot of people had hit me up to try and get after it. So coming straight out of college wrestling, it was a big switch up, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And you must have made an impression because, you know, you're not just, you know, obviously people know your pedigree and they know your background, but you also have to make an impression on the administration. And you must have made a huge impression on the administration.
Yeah, and I think after talking with them and going through my interviews, I think they knew a lot about not just obviously my sports background, but I think a lot on my character, and I think who I was as a person, and I think that translates well to, you know, who's going to be taking over a program like that.
You know, and you got to definitely be that, especially when you're around, you know, the young minds like that. Introduce us to Coach Zeke Aliris. Introduce us to you right now.
Well, I guess, like you said, I'm 23 years old, born and raised in Greeley, Colorado. I've been wrestling nearly all my life. I was definitely an athlete growing up, but I've been wrestling since I'm like 4 years old. Greeley Central native. I was a four-time state placer in high school and then went on and wrestled over at the UNC over there with my cousin Boo, who just won a national title.
Yes, sir.
So, been around wrestling my whole life.
You can also run the rock, brother. I remember you running that football too, buddy.
That's another thing, actually. They asked me, I'm going to be helping out coach the football team next year.
Yeah. Excellent, man. How do you like coaching for your alma mater, man, Greeley Central? That's got to be a dream come true.
No, for sure. I think I would have been blessed with an opportunity to coach anywhere, but it is really awesome to be able to go back to where I went to high school. You know, I feel like it makes a big difference in being able to connect with the kids on a different level and really understand who I'm working with and how to work with them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Zeke, Carter Williams here. I got a question for you. I'm here in with Dan. You know, every time I see any quotes from your cousin, you, anybody in your family, it's always about the love for Greeley, the love for the city, putting on for my city, being able to accomplish things for my city. You guys have started that top-notch sports academy in Greeley. Where does this love for the city come from, and what does this city mean to your family and what you guys are trying to do here?
Yeah, man, I think a lot of it comes with the bad things, the bad rap I feel like Greeley gets, and I think a lot of people have that misconception that you need to move or get out of there and able to do something good, and I think it feels good to be able to do good things and show that you can be from Greeley and still go out and do good things in this world, you know? I think we have been an example of that because I feel like we didn't have all the fancy facilities and whatnot growing up, but we were just scrappy little Chicano kids getting in the garage. I think it's just supposed to show, you know, like I said, that good things can come from Greeley, and that's why we take a lot of pride in, you know, being able to do good things and represent our town in good ways when a lot of times there's not the best things
that
about our town, you know?
So, right, man. I love Greeley, man.
So paint the picture for me. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you're training with your family, scrappy little Chicano kids in a garage, in a basement. Are you guys hitting a punching bag? Are you guys, you know, at a park punching trees? What are you guys doing?
All of it, man. Honestly, I have a good memory of going to Boo's house, my cousin Andrew and his dad. We'd have a he'd have little mats set up in his garage, and we'd be up in his garage drilling as, like, little 7-8-year-old kids. I remember spending the night at his house every Sunday, his dad waking us up bright and early to go to practice. Or probably around 12 years old, we were up in the top-notch gym boxing. So we spent a lot of time growing up just scrapping, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then playing sports. I remember you guys wrestling on the sidelines at practice as well sometimes. So, I mean, you guys are always active, and that's what I love. How do you like coaching with your dad, man? That's got to be special.
No, that's definitely one of the biggest blessings I feel like this last year, because I started like probably a month before the season started, so I had to go and scramble to find assistant coaches, you know?
Right.
And I had a couple of good old buddies from UNC that wrestled with me, which helped me out. But my dad, he was not even sure. He said, oh, yeah, I could probably help you out a little bit. But once he started helping me out a little bit, I think he got that little itch back and started helping me out a whole lot.
He did, because he used to coach before, and he kind of got a way to kind of help you guys grow.
No, for sure, yeah, and it's been a long time. Like, in high school, when we were wrestling, he was in the room a little bit, but not really, you know, he was helping out, assisting a little, but for like now, it was definitely different and wholesome, you know. Right. Our first sitting in the corner coaching together, it was a big moment for me. I know. I remember just looking over at him and thinking, like, it was crazy, you know. All my life he's been in my corner, and now we're doing this thing together.
Man, that's, you know, as a father, you know, I can attest, there's nothing better than coaching with your boys. You know, I've been able to coach my boys, and then now being able to coach with them and then win state titles with them. It's unbelievable feeling, not just the titles, but just to watch them grow in their profession. And that's pretty awesome to see. You know, you had a pretty good, successful, I say pretty good, a pretty successful first season, man. You placed 9 out of 11 wrestlers at regional tournament, and you took 6 to state.
Yeah, man, they definitely blew my expectations out of the water. Honestly, coming into the season, I didn't know a lot of these kids. I didn't really have them, you know. I had my little cousin and some kids I knew. But looking at our first duel of the season compared to where we ended up, I think it showed, like, some tremendous strides, because, like I said, that first duel, we won some matches for sure, but every match we lost, it was pin. So
it always seems to be that way, though. The first couple, you know, you got to get them out.
Yeah, for sure. But towards the end of the season, these dudes were freaking scrapping and went and earned their spots to state. You know, nothing was given to them.
That's so right.
Really proud for how they ended up towards the end of the season and the things that embedded in them.
They took on the reflection of the coach, for sure.
No, for sure, and I feel like I did a good job at.
I would agree, man. I'm excited to see how far this program can go under your leadership. Your Wildcat future looks bright, my brother. Hey, Coach Zeke, what's your philosophy?
My philosophy, I think I like to think a lot of it towards the mental game. I think a lot of it is one through little mental challenges, and my philosophy going into the restroom, I feel like I would try to bring a lot of that college wrestling mindset, but also understanding that these are young high school kids who are all coming from different backgrounds and different adversities. So I try to have that, you know. Yeah. I'm a quirky, goofy, fun coach, but I think all my athletes understand that when it's time to lock in and get to business, that they respect me a great deal, where, you know, all right, it's time, we had our fun, now let's handle some business. So I'd like to say I like to bring a light energy, but also that hardcore, you know, when we're getting it, we're going to knock some walls back and, yep, you know, get to that next level together.
Perfect.
So I like to, you know, give some time to the players, to the guys that are doing it. So who's the guy on your squad this year that really exemplified what you're talking about, jumping out at you, you know, got better throughout the season, maybe was a guy, you know, not your best guy that got the furthest in state, but a guy that maybe wasn't ready to be at state at the beginning of the season and made that growth through that leadership, made those strides and really impressed you this season? Can you give us a couple names of some kids that really impressed you, that we can look out for next year?
One kid that I'd say for sure, one of my wrestlers, 215 pounder Isaiah Asensio. He started the year with like a losing record, but he also wrestled some of the top kids in the state. This was like one of his first years wrestling. Real tough kid, real tough. Mm-hmm. Not a wrestler, you know. He didn't really understand the technique and that, but he was tough. So. And then throughout the end of the year, regionals, he ended up wrestling back all the way. He lost his, like, first or second match and then came back all the way to the challenge match and then punched his ticket to state. And
wow.
We definitely had, I don't like to say this, but, like, no real expectations of him to even go to state, mm-hmm. you know. We were pulling, but, like, he freaking pulled it out of the bag, and I think he was one of the biggest ones that was a head-turner. And now, you know, going to state, I think that was the best thing for him. He's going to be a senior next year, and he's ready to get to work this summer and go and try to get on that podium next year. So I think looking at him, he was one of the biggest ones.
You know, the that's key to me, what you just said right there, because I'm a huge proponent of that. You know, you see some kids out there where, you know, they look like they have potential, but they look like they shouldn't even be on the mat. And you see those kids, but you know there's something in them that you can pull out of them. And that takes true coaching. That takes somebody that understands their athletes. And Coach, you sound like you know what you're doing. At 23 years of age, you've been around the game for so long that I think it's just instinct now. That's a gift from God. Not everybody has that gift, Coach, but you have it, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot.
You know, I've been coaching in Eaton for a long time. I don't plan on leaving anytime soon, but for some reasons, God has put on my heart, and Coach Carter can attest to this, God's put it on my heart that Greeley Central would be the only school that if I was to leave Eaton, it would be Greeley Central. I'd leave Greeley Eaton for Greeley Central. And no cap. That's what the kids say nowadays, right? No cap. I'm not blowing smoke. My wife and Coach Carter can attest to this because we've talked about it. For whatever reason, Greeley Central has always been had a place in my heart. And I think it's because of the population that goes there. And and I would absolutely love to have an opportunity there. And maybe you can open the door for me someday there, Coach.
For sure. I'd be happy to do that, too. I know. I'd welcome you with open arms, and I'm sure a lot of other people would, too.
Perfect, man. I see that you're part of the Wildcat Zero Dropout team, man. That's awesome.
Yep. No, that was another blessing.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, do you plan on getting back in the cage?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Actually, my plan is this summer. I've been training real hard as of lately. I might be right now looking to fight in June, actually. That's the hope, but nothing's set in stone right now.
Perfect, man. We got to get you back on before that, okay, Coach?
All right. I'm down. Let me know.
All right, man. Hey, I see on May 13th, just real quick, that you're holding a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Tell us quickly about that camp.
Yep. Just a little 3-on-3 basketball tournament over at Greeley Central. We're trying to raise some money, trying to get these guys active this summer. I know a lot of my boys want to wrestle, so I'm trying to get them those opportunities to go out there and wrestle and try to get them some sweet gear for next year. So, there'll be some more fundraising stuff, but right now we got May 13th, a little 3-on-3 basketball tournament over at Greeley Central.
Perfect.
Last question for you, Zeke, real quick. You know, you're at a family barbecue here pretty quick coming up or something, and Boo kind of squares up with you and pushes you around. He wants to see what you got. You stepping in there, or what are you doing?
Are you game?
Are you down or what?
Never with family. Family is all love, and we all understand that aspect of respecting and loving each other.
love the Illyris dynasty, brother. Love it, man. So, hey, folks, get your team together and join the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. All the proceeds go to the Greeley Central Wrestling Team. Coach, tell our faithful right now again about the basketball tournament real quick.
Yep. May 13th, 3-on-3 basketball tournament, trying to raise some money for my Wildcat wrestlers, get active so they can get wrestling this summer and hopefully get them some sweet gear. Feel free to reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram, Zeke Liris.
Perfect, man. Coach, thank you for taking your time out for joining me this morning. I pray continued success, and I definitely would love to have you back on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Zeke.
I appreciate y'all having me on. I'm excited for next time.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it, man. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gould Parks Prep Line by Jim Epstein, right on Sports Denver, right on Sports, work with at-risk students to improve their creative writing skills by tapping in their passion for sports. I'm Coach Daniel Allman. This is Preps Rewind, live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind, brought to you by Gould Auto Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't forget to text me on the Preps text line at 888-530-0043. You know, we were going to get, we're trying to get Jim on the phone. We're having some technical difficulties. So me and Carter are going to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world of sports. Carter, you know, our Cowboys had a good draft. I'm still waiting for them to make a big splash. I know our boy Eckler still wanting to move out of LA. Mm-hmm. I think the Cowboys would be a good spot for him, but man, they did get a nice little running back.
Yeah, I mean, to be, I would love to see it. I'd love to see him in Denver. I'd love to see him in Dallas. I'd love to see him somewhere.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. That's my point. Yes.
Playing with him, growing up with him. Yeah. I know that that dude just wants to compete. You know, he just wants to compete. And he's at a point in his career where he understands his value and understands what he can bring to a team, you know.
And he's pretty healthy considering, you know, he had a couple, I think he missed a couple games the season before. I think last season, I don't think he missed very many games at all. Mm. But he is one of those guys that can contribute big time. He can catch out of the backfield. Mm. We obviously know he can run. So, yeah. I mean, I just pray blessings over Eckler. I hope he lands where he needs to be. Yeah. I hope God blesses him.
And, man, from a coaching perspective, if you have a guy that's a starting running back, and you have another guy on your team that can catch the ball, run the ball. I mean, the dynamicism that you can bring.
Right.
Look at what San Francisco did last year with Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. You never knew where that football was going. They can zone read right, pull it, throw it back to the left on a slant, or do all sorts of you know, crazy stuff.
They definitely made the Cowboys look like idiots.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm mad about that. Anyway, joining us right now on the Good Parts Prep Line is Jim Epstein, Executive Director of Right On Sports out of Denver. Jim, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Daniel. It's great to be here.
Yes, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad we have you on, man. We had some technical difficulties, but I'm glad we got you on, man. You know, I had the privilege to meet you at the 30th Annual Colorado Chapter of the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame Scholar Athletes Award. That's a mouthful, but I was happy to meet you. We got to talking about Right On Sports, and I have to say I was extremely impressed when I heard what you do. Tell us about Right On Sports.
Well, yeah, it was good to meet you at the National Football Foundation dinner as well. But Right On Sports Denver is a literacy program, and it's designed to inspire underserved middle school kids how to become better writers by writing about something that they love, being sports. And our flagship program revolves around a tuition-free two-week summer camp where the kids participate in classroom instruction, they participate in group projects, there's a video production day where they actually learn how to shoot video and interview athletes and then edit their videos. There's a podcasting session. We have a number of guest panels with pro athletes and pro journalists. And at the end of, we do a field trip. The Rockies have sponsored us each year with a field trip, and we sit in the press box, which is kind of cool for the kids. And then at the end of the camp, the kids do some writing all through camp, but they do a feature article, and we publish that into a magazine. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And how many schools have you partnered up with in Colorado?
We're new.
Okay.
We were founded in 2018, and it took us about a year or so to get organized. And then, of course, we hit the pandemic, which canceled a year for us. But we've run two camps, one in 2021 and one in 2022. And we're working with a school in Jeffco with Arvada Middle Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the camp is held on campus at MSU Denver.
Yeah, and I see the dates, July 17th through the 28th, correct?
That's correct. That's for camp this year. We're in full planning mode.
I gave your card to my principal because I think it would be something for our middle school to look into in getting those kids involved. Just because I've you know, being at the middle school and looking at some of the writing that my students have given me, I'm shocked. It just actually shocks me that when I get their penmanship and their writing and their not complete sentences, and it just blows my mind. So I think it would be really good to kind of get something up north going with you guys.
Well, I remember you saying that, and I'd love to talk to the principal. You know, my view is writing's a lifetime skill, and you're right. No matter what you do, whether you go to college, whether you don't go to college, and whatever you do in your career, you're going to have to write and communicate from time to time. And so that's what we're trying to do, give kids a chance.
That's awesome.
Jim, Carter Williams, I'm here co-hosting with Dan. I got a quick question for you. You know, when I was growing up, I had, and what got me into writing and into podcasting and radio and TV broadcasting, it's what I ended up majoring in college and everything, was a teacher said to me one day, it was actually a German teacher in middle school. He said, you know, when I was growing up, I thought about being a sports writer because what would be better than, you know, having somebody call you up and say, hey, we're going to send you to a 5-star hotel. We're going to put you on a first class flight. We're going to put you in a suite. You're going to watch the Super Bowl and then you're going to write about it. And then we're going to pay you for all of that and compensate you for it. So, I mean, what is your goal, your outreach? What are you trying to inspire in these kids? Maybe even just beyond the writing process and the writing, you know, the skill of writing itself?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we started the organization and we want to stay true to our core mission, which is teaching kids how to write. But over time, we've maybe morphed into a goal 1B, if you will. And that is trying to get kids to college and give them, make them, a lot of the kids that we work with, college is not on the radar screen. And they just have never thought about it. No one in their family has ever gone to college, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why we hold camps on campus. Mm-hmm. And we try to let them know what a college is and the benefits. Then the second thing, though, where we have grown and we've expanded in the last year or two, but put together a group or became part of a group where it actually is a good story. For those that are familiar with the radio host Irv Brown, we started a scholarship at MSU Denver in the name of Irv Brown. And what we've done now is we're working on a high school program so kids, and it's a pathway, it's become a pathway, where kids start in middle school, they go to high school, they take our sports business academy, they go to MSU and they can major in journalism or in sports management, and they can also qualify for a scholarship.
Wow.
Man, that's awesome. You know, a fact that stuck out to me when I read your website was writing proficiency is directly correlated to reading proficiency. Nation's report card has seen a negative trend in reading proficiency in the last 10 years across all student groups.
Yeah, and the pandemic was really a killer in that area as well. The kids and they had to stay at home and they weren't in the classroom and their proficiency, their test scores really dropped.
You could see it. You could definitely see it. Definitely them being home that pandemic year. Your solution, which I agree with 100%, is to focus on middle school students because that's the critical time in academic development.
That's correct.
Man, that's huge.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we've looked at, part of our impact statement is there have been a lot of studies now, and they say that on average, kids have lost they describe it as learning loss. Over the course of the pandemic, not being in the class, they have regressed or have lost 9 months worth of learning. Wow. And how do you recapture that back? And we have a lot of fun at our camp, but this is an academic camp,
right?
And a 2-week dedicated single subject camp can recoup as much as 6 months of that 9 months of learning loss is what the studies show. So we're trying to fill that gap as well.
Yeah, I had a coach tell me one time that, you know, what you do in the weight room for 3 weeks, you can lose in 1 week. So I can't imagine it's probably, you know, even a steeper regression in the literacy world. So Jim, how do, if I'm listening to this and I just want to support you, or if I'm a young, you know, writing teacher, writing professional that wants to get involved and help you out, I mean, how do we support you and what you're doing with this great cause?
Yeah, I encourage anybody that has questions or just wants to talk further, drop me an email at wosdenver@writeonsports.org. You can go to our website, look up Colorado, and we have a phone number and the email address there. And just reach out to me, and I'm happy to talk to anyone. And it'd be great to have a school in Eaton one day.
Amen.
We're
going to try that. We're definitely going to try that. You know, make sure to check out their website, writeonsports.org, for camp information. And more importantly, make sure to hit that donate tab and give to this great organization. Jim, thank you for coming on, and thank you for all you do for our children. I pray continued success, my friend. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you again for having me. It's been great to be on.
We're going
to
get you back on, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. You know, thanks to Gould Parts, our great sponsor, 970-454-3355. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all Napa parts. Anything you need is just one phone number away, 970-454-3355. Write it down and stick it on the fridge. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't touch that dial. Up next on the prep line is world fighting champion Roper Rich. I'm Coach Daniel Allman. He is Carter Williams. This is Preps Weekend live from the Alo Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind, brought to you by Gould Parts, located in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't forget, you can text me on the Preps text line, 888-530-0043. Our guest right now has claimed the World Bullfighting Championship. He is one of the best bullfighters in the world, and he is an Eaton native, Mr. Roper Rich. Roper, my brother, how the heck are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Congratulations on being the 2022 Greeley Stampede champion. What a performance, man!
Thank you.
I think at one point in that fight, you actually brought the animal to its knees, bro.
I did.
You did. You remember that?
Out of the goal. Yeah, I did.
Okay, so I have to say, when I see you dodging a bull, it takes me back to the time I see you running the rock for me as a freshman in Eaton, and I was extremely impressed, because just like you did then, man, no one could catch you, no one could bring you down, no one could do that either. Not today, not then. Man, it makes me smile every time I see you, buddy.
Well, shoot, I kind of miss it.
Do you?
It was a lot better to get hit by a person than by a bull. So,
yeah. I bet, man. Hey, so now, are you fighting under the American bullfighting flag now?
Yes, I fight for a few different associations, but right now is kind of my slow time, and I fight a lot more in Colorado during the summertime, kind of stay closer to my roots, and American bullfighting is mainly based out of Colorado, so that's exactly where I stay for about 4 months out of the year.
Man, that's good. So you said right now is kind of the slow time of year for you?
Yeah, I have springtime is the slowest, believe it or not.
Okay.
I have just a couple shows in Texas, and then I have a lot of time to train and get back on my feet and just kind of rest up for the bigger run that's actually beginning of August.
Okay, so you start
shows then.
Wow, how many?
15.
15 events a year.
Yeah, well, 15 just in the beginning part of August.
No kidding. And I know you hold the big one at the end of the year that I always love to go to, man. And we talked about this earlier this year when I saw you, that I would really love to help you guys.
Oh, yeah, you need to head over there. It's the Budweiser Event Center, yep.
You guys have a great one there. You know, it takes a special breed to be a bullfighter. What made you want to be one?
You know, it runs in the family. My dad actually was in the PRCA for a long time. He ended up riding bulls professionally, and then switched over to bullfighting, where he was runner-up in the world. And a lot of people say that if it wasn't for his knee being blown out, not from him, he wouldn't even tell you he was a bullfighter, but from a lot of different people, they tell you if it wasn't for his knee being blown out, he would have had the world a couple different times.
I've heard that from a lot of people, not just you. I've heard that from a lot of people, that Kevin Rich was pretty amazing when he was doing it.
Yeah, could jump out of the gym. I think he held the state record at Windsor for the high jump for many years.
No doubt. I've seen you jump over a bull one too many times.
Roper, Carter Williams here. I'm co-hosting with Dan today. I got a quick question for you. You know, every time I hear, and let me even back this up a little bit. When I've always said that I have special respect for the small football players, because it's the small guys who are willing to go up and hit the big guys that you've got to be scared of. Now, I don't know. I'm not looking at you. I don't know how big a boy you are or anything, but I know that bull's bigger than you, and we're talking about your dad blowing his knee out and messing up and not getting, you know, the career that he wanted in or could have had in bull riding. What, and you're laughing about it. I mean, what eases your emotions when you're doing this? I mean, it sounds crazy to the normal person. Make it sound less crazy to me.
Right.
Well, you know, actually, for me being laughing about it and everything, that's actually the best thing you can do, because as soon as you put it in your own mind that it's the craziest thing that anybody can do in the world, you know, it starts getting in your own head and you start going out there and tripping and getting hit and everything. As soon as you be like, okay, listen, I don't need to work out. I don't need to do anything. If the bull's going to get a hold of me, he's going to get a hold of me. He can't kill me. I mean, even though he can't. You know, that's actually the best way to go about it, is just to keep it small and simple and laugh about it. And you'll see a lot of those bullfighters, no matter where I travel in the country, actually. It gets in the way of how they bullfight, and it's them being worked up and tensed up. It's good to stay loose and relaxed and not have a care in the world.
Yeah, kind of like running the football, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you ever get scared?
You know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. These animals that I fight here in Colorado for the American bullfighting, they're bulls that I've been around since I was 5, 6 years old. So I actually, you know, when I'm fighting at the Greeley Stampede or anything like that, I honestly, I'm there to have a good time and laugh and talk to the crowd. So you know, around up in this part, I don't usually get scared, but When I travel the country, it starts to kind of hit you. So.
I got you. And what do you do to get yourself ready for a bullfight?
You know, I hit the gym every now and again. I do a lot of running. It's mainly about staying skinny. The skinnier you are, less muscle you have on you. The reason you don't want to be a heavy guy fighting those bulls is, instead of getting thrown up in the air when you're weighing 160 pounds and you're weighing 190 to 200, you'll get thrown right in front of them, and then you're stuck up underneath them.
Right.
So it's good to have a lean diet and kind of.
So that's not. So Coach Alamon couldn't be doing that, man. You see, Coach Alamon, that's not for you, brother.
You know, actually, I tell everybody, I went to career day at the Eaton Middle
School
last week, and I told them, I said, it doesn't matter. Anybody can fight a bull. I've seen people that are 250 pounds win a bullfight that I didn't think was possible.
Yeah.
You know?
So it sounds
people that are 20 pounds, you know?
So it sounds like it might be a job that you got to just work harder, or smarter, not harder, huh?
You're exactly right. You're not going to out-muscle a bull, so you need to outsmart him.
That's it, man. So how is bullfighting judged?
You know, bullfighting, it's actually kind of switched around a few different times. It's judged slightly differently to each association.
Gotcha.
What the ABF likes to do is a big part of it is how you control your bull, how you maneuver yourself around that bull, and then the crowd involvement.
Gotcha.
So, when you land a trick and you get up and you wave your hands, that's an extra 5 points.
Do you do a backflip over the bull? That's probably 80 points.
You know what's so crazy is that's actually for a different association, and I did that backflip and got up and put on probably the best bullfight of my life, and I scored an 84 point.
Wow.
So it depends. So
pressure makes diamonds,
number one,
right?
That's it.
Exactly. And you get that bull. So 50 points of the actual bullfight is the bull score, and 50 points is the bullfighter score. Combined is out of 100 points, and you just try your best to get luck of the draw and get a hot one after you.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Your job to handle him.
Hey, so. Can you describe your first experience fighting a bull?
You know, a lot of people do not know this, but in the sixth grade, I am not surprised at all, bro. In the sixth grade, there's a dog and pony event at the ranch in Loveland.
Uh-huh.
And my dad's friend had actually told my dad that he'd pay me $100 if I'd go out there and fight a bull. Well, my dad being my dad, he said, listen, you're going to fight a big bull. He's not mean. You should be able to handle him. I said, okay, you know, sign me up. That sounds cool. So I go to this dog and pony show. And I call for this bull, and, I mean, like a bullet, he comes out. I still, to this day, I think he's going to knock on my door, and he's going to ask for my money, you know? And I sat there waving on him, and I did not move a muscle. I had one of these wool vests on that's not a protective gear at all by any standards now in bullfighting. But he ran me over and broke my ribs and my sternum.
Oh, jeez, dude.
I got up, and I remember barely being able to make it to the fence, and I look up at my dad, and he told me, he said, you need to get back out there or else they're going to call child services on you. So there I went. I had to go back out there with tears coming down my face and everything.
That is awesome, man. He just made a man out of you right there, brother.
I was scared for a while.
You know, I've always wanted to announce a rodeo, man. How can I make that happen, and how can you help me make that happen?
You know, actually, what I'll do is I'll send you, it'd be the American Bullfighting Facebook page. My dad actually.
I got it, bro. I got it. I'm on it right now, bro. I'm on it.
Yeah. All you need to do is direct message that, and it'll go straight to my dad, and we'll figure out a way for you to announce one of our runs later on in the summer.
Oh, man, I would love to, Roper. Roper, my brother, thank you for coming on, man. Thank you. I pray protection over you, your family, and I'd love to get you back on, man.
Well, thank you, Coach. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Hey, always remember, man, I've always said this to you, remember to always keep your head on a swivel, okay?
All right. I'll do my best.
thank you, Roper. I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, good to meet you, Roper.
Yep, thank you.
All right, man. Again, I want to thank Gould Parts, our great sponsor. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado, will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all Napa parts. Anything you need is just one phone number away, 970-454-3355. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. We'll be right back with 3A Coach of the Year, Tony Mastari. I'm Coach Daniel Allman. This is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Allman. Joining us in studio, or actually on the phone, he was going to be in studio, but got caught up. 3A Coach of the Year, head wrestling coach for the Fightin' Eaton Reds, Coach Tony Mastari. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Hey, we're going to get you back on next week, though. I want to get you in studio.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Perfect, man. Hey, congratulations on winning your third Class 3A State Wrestling Championship in the past 4 years, man. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about when you kind of put all those years together, like, you know, what we've been able to accomplish in the past 4 years, even the past 6 years. You know, we've placed in the top two in the past 6 years, so it's pretty wild.
You know, what's impressive is you sent all 14 weights to state. Even more impressive, Coach, is that 12 out of the 14 wrestlers finished in the top six of their respective weight class at state. Wait, what's even more impressive than that is that you brought home another state title.
and we did it without having a state champion.
Right, without an individual state title champion. Yeah.
Yep.
How sweet was this last one?
You know, it was pretty sweet. I think every year it gets a little bit better, just because, you know, and I told these guys this year, you know, it's hard to get to the top, but it's even harder to stay at the top.
Right.
You know, when you're at the top, you got everybody gunning for you and wanting to see you fail and fall. And, you know, they answered the call and they did what they needed to do to bring home another title.
They did a great job. Right or true, he has to be one of the most decorated Reds in history. He's earned 3 championships with football, 3 in wrestling, 2 in baseball, possibly on his way to winning another state title in baseball. I think that's 9 rings, if I count correct.
I think when it's all said and done, if everything plays out, he'll have 9.
How did you like working with Ryder, man? I absolutely loved him on the football side of it. How did you like working with him on the wrestling side?
Ryder was awesome, man. He, you know, very lighthearted. I mean, fairly quiet kid until he kind of opens up a little bit. But, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate to work with his dad, alongside his dad, Roy. Yep. And then I was able to coach Tanner, his older brother, and then also coach him. It's just an honor to coach a kid that's athletically talented like he is, and just as decorated as he is. And he works hard, and he puts his nose to the grindstone, and he just does what he has to do.
You know who impressed me this year was Dylan Paris.
Yeah, Dylan's going to be a force to reckon with next year. I mean, he's a very stud freshman. And even that, Ethan Deal, he's another freshman.
Ethan Deal's another one, yes.
I think both of those guys easily probably could have placed at the state tournament at the same weight, but they, you know, like they were at the same weight.
Yeah, speaking of Ethan.
One guy.
Go ahead, Coach, I'm sorry.
You know, one guy had to go, and one guy had to stay, and I mean, it just, unfortunate that, you know, that one that had to stay was Ethan, but you know, hopefully I can get them both in the lineup at different weights next year.
You know, we had his girlfriend's his sister's boyfriend on with us just before you came on, Roper.
Okay.
Yeah, he came
Roper.
Hey, Coach, I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time, man. I want to get you back on next week because I got a lot to go over with you. I want to talk to you about a lot. You come on next week with us?
Yeah, I'll be coming back from the Springs Saturday morning, so we might have to call, but that's all right.
All right, buddy. I'll call you back, man. Thank you very, very much for coming on, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. I'm Coach Daniel Allen, walking this earth with purpose to influence, period. This is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.